Well, good morning. So parenting is something that is quite difficult. And today we're going to be looking at that, about how we can honor our parents. And so in this series on the Ten Commandments, the 10 values that still build strong families today, that we're going to be looking at this honoring mother and father. And the ones that we've looked at so far that Pastor Mike has unpacked for us are all things that deal directly with our relationship with God. And so think of it very much as like a vertical beam, okay? So we have things like put God first, right? The foundation for all of them, having no idols. Things like His name. God says that His name is holy and we are to revere it and treat it as such and don't misuse it. Things like take a whole day of Sabbath, of worship, of rest, of family. We looked at that last week. And so today we're going to be in this other one and starting on this commandment with honoring your mother and father, and through the rest of this series, so the rest of this month and a little bit into October, we're going to be looking at loving others around us, okay? So think of it like as a horizontal beam. And today, as we talk about honoring your mother and father, here's what the actual commandment says. It says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. So typically whenever I speak to adults about this commandment, it suddenly becomes their favorite commandment, because they get to finally have something whenever they're yelling at their kids. Now they finally have a little bit extra biblical ammo for their kids. But you know, yes, okay, all right, go for it. But actually, it is more than that. And what we're going to see is that this commandment is not just for your kids. Yes, it is for your kids, but it's also for people who are young adults. It is for people who are adults. It is for people who are really, really wise adults, we'll put it that way, okay? It is. It's for all ages. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. And notice here that this word is to honor your father and mother, to honor your father and mother. And this word honor, actually, as you get older and progress as an adult, that this word honor actually changes meaning just a little bit. And that's what we're going to be looking at. Now, I should also mention here that this is not just for parents, but also this commandment applies to anyone in authority, okay? So it could be, yes, our government, okay? We are to honor our officials, our elected officials in our government, okay? We are to honor our pastors. We are to honor school teachers. We are to honor those who have some sort of authority in our lives. And so we're going to be looking at all that. But let's start off with this question right here. Why does God give us this commandment? And the short answer is that God gives us this commandment because there are no perfect parents. Now, parents is actually the first blank. So if you're taking notes, and yes, there are sermon notes there, or if you're online, you can find those sermon notes on our SMLC online page there. But the first blank here is there are no perfect parents. Now, think of it this way. If parents were perfect, then it would be so easy to honor them, wouldn't it? It'd be so easy to obey them. It'd be so easy to give them all the respect and acceptance and affirmation that they need, because they're perfect. So it would be easy. But actually, God gives us this commandment simply because, now kids, if you're listening, dirty little secret, but your parents are not perfect. Now, for the teenagers in this room, I know this is a revelation. This is a shock. But it is true. And it is true that considering the number of people that are in this room, that we've had the full gamut of life experience. There are some in this room who have had parents who were excellent. And when I say excellent, not perfect, but excellent. Then there were some who were mediocre, and then there were some that, well, let's just face it, were just downright awful. Parents have been, at times, abusive, neglectful. And so what we're looking at with this commandment to honor them is that we're not sweeping something under the rug. We're not ignoring things that have happened in your past. We're not pretending like that they did not happen, or are we saying just to simply gloss over it? But what we're saying here is that even in the midst of your imperfect parents, you are still called to honor them. So think of it this way, that the only father that is perfect, of course, is our Heavenly Father. And what God is doing here is that he is instituting order. See, God is a God of order. If you go back to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 1, God orders. There is an order in creation. God is a God of order. And because he's a God of order, that he has created that sense of order within the family. And so that's why he is calling us to honor our mother and father, and also why in society that we are called to honor those in authority. And here is the other thing too, is that this commandment is a blessing for those that we're honoring, but it is also a gift to us. All right? It is actually, God actually promises a blessing. In this commandment, he says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So God actually gives a promise here in this commandment. How cool is that? All right, so we look at why, but now let's look at how. And I'm going to give you three different life stages here. And the first one here is that as a child, I honor my parents by obeying and respecting them. So be sure to write that down, obeying and respecting them. So this is especially important. So all the kids in this room, and whenever I say kids, I say that loosely, okay? If you are living at home with mom and dad, if you are in high school, if you are some way dependent upon your parents, okay, this verse is for you. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So as children, we are called to simply obey and respect our parents. And so really, as long as you rely on them in some way, if they provide for you, then guess what? They get to call the shots. They absolutely do. And here's how you're going to do it. You're going to do what they say. I'm going to give you three words. You ready? Willfully. I know I'm already hearing some chuckles in this room. Willfully, pleasantly, and timely. Use these words. Willingly, pleasantly, and timely. It is funny, I'll hear students say things. I work with high school students, and I'll hear them say, you know, I just can't believe that my mom or dad would tell me what to do with my phone. And I would say to them, your phone? Oh, wait, you pay $50 a month for it? Oh, you don't. Oh, okay, well. So this is what your command is. As long as their house, their rules. As a child, you honor your parents by obeying and respecting them. And I'll give you those three words again: willfully, pleasantly, and timely. Now, of course, it doesn't necessarily need to be said, but I'll say it anyways. This is, of course, if it contradicts God's law. So there's always God's laws over man's laws. And so, yes, if they're really asking you to do something that contradicts God's word, don't do it. And the same thing is true for abuse, that this is not referring to abuse at all. So, like, if a parent were to say, like, keep this a secret, don't do that. You need to come to another authority in your life, be it a pastor here, be it a school teacher or a coach or whatever. Speak out to a safe adult. All right, now, so that's if you're a child. Now, we're going to go on to as a young person. So for this next phase of life here, as a young person, I honor my parents by accepting and appreciating them. Accepting and appreciating. So here's the thing. Whenever you start to grow up, you actually start to see the cracks in the foundation. You start to, the veil of your dad being a superhero. He can lift a couch. Superhero. Whenever you get a little bit older, and so does he, suddenly he's lifting the same couch and now he's got a hernia, okay? Suddenly it's starting to fade a little bit and you realize that he's not quite as invincible as he once was. Maybe his secure job that he's had for forever, he ended up getting laid off. Maybe you find out that your mom has opened up a credit card and she tried to keep it a secret. And what are we to do with this? Now, this is a young person being someone who's flown out of the nest, and so they're on their own. And the role shifts a little bit, going from strictly obeying and respecting to now accepting and appreciating them. And part of acceptance here is just simply realizing this, realizing that God has actually used them with all of their faults or failures. God has actually used them in such a way to bring you into the world. Think of it that way. So do you owe them anything? Yes. Yes, you do. Even with all their faults and failures, that you still owe them that they brought you into the world. And so acceptance also means listening to what they have to say. I'm going to show this verse here from Proverbs. It says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." And so the role shifts a little bit from strictly obeying them to accepting and appreciating them, especially whenever it comes to advice. Now, here's the crazy thing that I know some of you who are in this room cannot possibly grasp, but I heard a youth leader say this one time to a group of teenagers. He said, "If you want to know what the next 20 years of your life is going to be like, ask your parents." And of course, these teenagers are shocked. "My parents would have no idea what I'm going through." It is true you have grown up in a different world, but guess what? Your parents have also been down the same road that you have. And so part of what we're called to do here in this stage is to accept our parents and to listen to their advice. Now, it may not necessarily be an obedience at this point. Like, for example, if you're considering buying a new car or a used car and your parents, listen to what they have to say, all right? But if you do make that decision, then, you know, you're making that decision on your own. And now that your parents have kind of moved a little bit to the role of, like, say, a coach in this way. But do listen to their advice, because if you simply blow them off and you just think that you're smarter than anyone else, well, I have news for you. You're going to quickly find out that you are not. In fact, I'll never forget standing in college my freshman year, and I, of course, thought that I was the smartest person I knew until I'm staring at a washing machine. And I say to myself, what are all these buttons, and what do they do? And actually, my wife and I were reminiscing this the other day, but my brother actually used fabric softener instead of soap for, Krista, how long? For like a year, right? Something like that. We always kind of wondered why he smelled bad. Anyways. So this is part of the acceptance here, is just that you are to accept their advice. You are. Also, acceptance includes forgiveness. So because we're now at the stage where we can look back and see that, you know what, not everyone's childhood was like mine, and maybe you did go through some really difficult things. Maybe you did experience abuse. Maybe you did experience neglect or something horrific as those things. That what we need to do is we need to get to a place of forgiveness. And what I mean by that is it's so easy this day and age to go, and rather than to go and give your parents forgiveness, it's easier to lay on a couch and to blame your parents for all of your problems. It's just easier to do that. But actually what we're called to do is we are called to forgive our parents. So whatever resentment that you have in your life that has just been eating away at you, you need to get rid of that. You need to forgive. In fact, that's what the Greek word for forgiveness means. It means to let it go. And that's unfortunately what we do. We allow this resentment to build us up, or to build up onto us, eat us from the inside out like a cancer. And then we just simply go through life with that burden. And instead, what we need to do is we need to just release it. We need to forgive the person. What's crazy about resentment is that we often think that, hey, I'm over here stewing on it. And we think, yeah, so is the other person. They're stewing on it too. No, probably not. In fact, they might be on a beach somewhere sipping on a Mai Tai, completely forgetting about whatever that you're stewing on, and it only hurts you. It does not hurt the other person. Or what's even worse is I'll talk to people and they'll still allow their parents' decisions that they had made several years ago to control them today, and their parents aren't even around anymore. And I think to myself, how can you allow that person to still control you? And that's what forgiveness is. It is giving up that that right to hold it over their head, to stew on it, and it's instead to release it. Again, with forgiveness, I am not saying that we're ignoring what happened or that we're sweeping anything under the rug, but simply that we're calling it what is. We're acknowledging, yes, this happened to me, and also I'm at a place where I'll forgive you. And that's what true forgiveness is. All right, so let's go on to the final one here. The final one here is as an adult. As an adult, I honor my parents by affirming and not abandoning them. It is interesting as we get older that oftentimes less respect we get. I mean, after all, you can think that maybe there were times in your life where maybe at work, for example, let's just say that that's your case here, that you're at work and you receive all this affirmation at work. But then let's say that you retire and all of a sudden you're just by yourself and you're not receiving the same kind of affirmation there. Or let's say that around family that you receive that affirmation and that respect. But then let's say that your family moves a couple states away. And then all of a sudden you just have that less and less connection. And so what we are called to do as adults, we are called to actually step up our game and to go out of our way to honor our parents by affirming and by not abandoning them. So let's talk about affirming. There's a few different ways you can affirm them. And the most obvious way is to stay in touch, to simply stay in touch with them. You can do this by calling them. You could do this by writing letters or cards, especially if you have kids. Have your kids do those things. They love doing that kind of stuff. And so you can do all that. But even I'm amazed today with technology, how easy it is. And really, what, 10 years ago, we couldn't even imagine, 15 years ago, we couldn't imagine a world where you can just pick up something out of your pocket, hit one button, and you have FaceTime or Zoom on your phone, and you can see them all across the world. I mean, we couldn't even imagine a world like that. And yet, here we are. We're living in that world. And so that's a very easy thing to do to affirm your parents. Affirming also means listening to their counsel and really asking for it. So not even wait to receive the advice, but to go to them. You know, hey, mom or dad, I'm considering buying a house. Should I buy it in this area or that area? Go and ask them. They're going to feel affirmed. And by the way, quick note, this does apply to in-laws also. But I'll have to say it this way, that there really is a tragedy in America. And I'm sure that we saw the worst of it with COVID, where we're all so isolated. But there really is this thing that is happening in America where the elderly are often casted out and just simply expecting the government to fund them, to provide for them. And actually what the Bible says is the Bible says that it's not the government's responsibility first and foremost. It's not the church's or someone else's, but rather the first line of defense is you. It's the family. And so if you have a grandma or if you have a mom and dad or if you have an uncle or an aunt or whoever that is in need of care, that you are the first line of defense, that you're the first to care for them. Now, caring for parents could look like a few different things, right? It could look like feeding them, it could look like clothing them, providing for them. But it could also look like other things, like even if it's difficult for them to go and get their oil changed, go change their oil. A friend of mine talked about how for his ministry for the elderly, they were all about light bulbs. Now, I know you think to yourself, what? What about light bulbs? Well, apparently, for a lot of elderly people, certain light bulbs are just hard to get. And the thought of getting up on a ladder is just simply difficult, if not impossible. And I know this because I look at some of these lights around here and I think to myself, whew, when this one goes out, I don't want to be the guy on that ladder, right? But people are like that with their homes too. And so just little things like that that can make such a really big difference, but constantly go out of your way to care for them. 1 Timothy 5 actually puts it this way, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. So this is a way that you can actually show godliness, is to be caring for your parents. Okay, so we've looked at these three different stages, right? We've looked at the first one about obeying and respecting, the second one about accepting and appreciating, and then the third one here about affirming and not abandoning. See, whenever we look at the Ten Commandments, one of the functions of the Ten Commandments in the law here is simply this. It is simply to get us to realize that, wow, we've blown it, that we've messed up. Because whenever we first hear this commandment, I don't know, well, I say we loosely, but at least for myself, I think of my kids and what my kids need to do. But as we've looked at today, this commandment goes way beyond simply your own kids obeying and respecting you, but also it puts it back onto you and to say, okay, yes, how can I still honor my mother and father as an adult? And if my mother and father is not here, what about respecting and honoring those in authority in our lives? See, this commandment here, it applies to all of us. And all of us, whenever we look at this, we have to acknowledge that there's times that we've made mistakes, that we've blown it, that we've actually, God commands us and calls us to live this way. And yet there are times that, well, unfortunately, we sin. We fall into temptation and sin. And yet what we're reminded of here is we're reminded of Jesus. And that's exactly why Jesus came, because the law, as a result of the law, that we are convicted of our sins. But it's Jesus who came to this earth, who died on the cross, and is willing to extend to you forgiveness of your sins. And so today we can receive forgiveness for all the times that we've messed up. So with that, let's go to God in prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much for gathering us here together on this Sabbath day here to come to your house to worship you, to praise you, but also, Lord, to really spend some time and to look at this commandment of what it means to honor our mother and father. And we pray, Lord, that we could take these things into our Labor Day weekend, into our week, that we can honor you, or that we can, yes, honor you, but also to honor our mother and father, to reach out. Lord, who are the people that we need to reach out to today? Who are the people that we need to reach out to, send a card, make a phone call, make a FaceTime, Lord? Pray that we can be able to apply these things. And all this we pray, amen.